Many decades ago, when I was doing a program in clinical pastoral education, the wife of one of my colleagues had noticed did a beautiful calligraphy. And I guess I had oohed and aahed about it enough times, so he brought me one that she had done for me to be framed. And it said, "Be alert. This world needs more alerts." And when one is retired from the pastoral ministry, there are still opportunities to work in various congregations, like when Julia goes away. But each time I'm faced with the fact that the order of service is different in each place, and rightly so. So I am going to ask, is there anyone assigned to read the scriptures, or do I get paid extra for that?
Don't call them who isn't.
And the 90th Psalm begins this way in the first two verses. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Then going back to the very first book of the Hebrew Scriptures, to chapter 28 of Genesis, we have what we call, is entitled as Jacob's Dream at Bethel. You know the characters quite well. The twin boys that were born, Jacob and Esau. But they were, the language, it's not biblical language, but, and I'm glad that we have now moved away from it as well, but we used to talk about dysfunctional families. And this would be a good example. But anyway, there have been some shenanigans going on in this family. And Jacob, who was the smaller of the twins, knew that his life was at risk. Either he could be thoroughly injured, or he could even lose his life, the way things were decided in those days. And so he decides to put a lot of distance between his home and wherever he was going to go. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are living. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all of that you gave me, I will give you a tenth." One of my favorite frequently read authors, this being Barbara Brown Taylor, she writes of an experience that she and her husband had in Hawaii. And I have to read others' experience of Hawaii because I'll probably never get there. "On the big island of Hawaii, I could feel the adolescent energy of the lava rock under my feet. The spirit of that land was ebullient, unrefined, entirely pleased with itself. Its divinity had not yet suffered from the imposition of shopping malls, beach homes, or luxury hotels. I caught its youthfulness and walked farther that day than I thought I could, ending up at a small tidal pool on the far southwestern tip of the island. After the crashing of the waves, the sanctuary of the still pool hit me with the sound of sheer silence. The calm water lay so green and cool before me that it calmed me as well. Nothing stirred the face of the water save the breeze coming off the ocean, which caused it to wrinkle from time to time. Walking around the pool, I came to three stones set upright near the edge where the water was deepest. All three were shaped like fat baguettes, with the tallest one in the middle. The other two were set snug up against it, the same gray color as humpbacked whales. Altogether, they announced that something significant had happened in that place. I was not the first person to be affected by it. Whoever had come before me had set up an altar, and though I might never know what that person had encountered there, I knew the name of the place, Bethel, the house of God." Bethel, the house of God, is what Jacob in our biblical text today called the very spot where he encountered God. Or did God encounter him? Not on a gorgeous island in Hawaii, but in a rocky wilderness where he saw something that changed his life forever. This story of Jacob's encounter with God is one of the many biblical stories that we know to be truth, whether it ever actually happened or not. And I, for one, am glad that I have grown in my spiritual journey so that I don't have to get hung up on certain stories and wonder to my dismay. Whether or not that could have really happened. Because there's so many beautiful stories in Holy Scripture, and you say, could that have really happened? Well, maybe if we concentrate on the truth behind that story, it doesn't matter quite as much whether it really happened or not. So there was Jacob, still a young man, running away from home because his whole screwy family had finally imploded. Jacob's father was dying. He and his twin brother Esau had both wanted his father's blessing. Jacob's mother colluded with Jacob. And the scheme worked. But it enraged his brother Esau to the point that Jacob fled for his life. He and his brother Esau were not identical twins. In fact, Esau was apparently much larger in physical stature and could have easily inflicted considerable injury, let alone causing his death. So Jacob left, apparently with little more than his clothes on his back and maybe something packed in a bag. He walked away far and fast. At the end of that day, he was exhausted and couldn't go any further. He looked around to find a stone that he could use as a pillow. When he had found one the right size, Jacob lay down to sleep, turning his cheek against the stone, which would have still been warm from the hours of sunlight. Wherever the dream came from, it was vivid for Jacob. A ladder set up on the earth, with the top of it reaching up toward the heavens, and the angels of God ascending and descending like bright-winged ants. Then all of a sudden, God was there beside Jacob. Without a single trumpet blast, promising him safety, children, and land galore. And the words, "Remember, I am with you," God said to him. "I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Apparently, Jacob woke while God's breath was still stirring in the air. Although he saw nothing out of the ordinary around him, the same rocky wilderness, the same rocks, the same sand. If you could have looked in a mirror, he would have not seen anything different except for the look of surprise in his eyes. "Surely the Lord is in this place," he said out loud, "and I didn't know it." How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. It would seem that this is the kind of dream that he could never have made up. It was one of those dreams that is so much more real than what ordinarily passes for real. The trying to figure out what really happened would require a complete redefinition of terminology. After all, what really is real? Can you prove it? Even if Jacob could never find the exact place where the ladder came down to the earth, even if he could never find a single angel footprint in the sand, his life was changed for good. Having woken up to God, he would never again be quite the same. What really happened there? God only knows. All Jacob knew was that he had to mark that spot. Looking around for something that would do the trick, he spotted the obvious choice, his stone pillow, lying right there where he had left it. Mind you, the sand around it was probably disheveled as a result of his unusual night's sleep. First, he may have dug away the sand to gain a sturdy footing for the stone. Then he stood the stone upright, ladder-like, and set it into place. After that, he poured oil on it and gave it a name, Bethel, House of God. Some versions mention that as he walked away and looked back, he saw a stone finger rooted in the earth, pointing straight up through the sky. Many decades ago, I was studying at a church-sponsored liberal arts college in Kansas. It was named Bethel College, referencing back to our biblical story of today. And even before I had actually graduated, I had gone to somebody in the head office in that town of Newton, Kansas, the denomination that I was then part of. And I had said to him that I was wrestling with whether to go into the pastoral ministry. There were people that were tapping me on the shoulder, but I wasn't sure. I was also considering social work, all I knew is that I wanted to work with people. And he said, if you want to consider the pastoral ministry, why don't you declare yourself open to be an assistant pastor? And he said, I'll have you a job before you can catch up with me. And I talked to my wife about it. We had just been married a few months. We thought that was maybe a good idea. And so, I should say it was a year later. And sure enough, in 6 weeks, I was on my way to Mountain Lake, Minnesota for an interview. And lo and behold, the name of the congregation was called Bethel Church. So here were two entities in that 2 year span. One the college, one the congregation that called me. Both of them have played a very significant role in affirming me in the desire and decision to study for the pastoral ministry. Having said that there was a college named Bethel College and a congregation called Bethel Church, as many congregations have been called, I would hasten to point out that Bethel, the place of God, cannot be restricted to buildings. The whole world, all of creation, is the house, the place of God. I would even hasten to say that our individual experiences of the holy, the divine, are Bethel, the house of God. And while I'm speaking of that, is it not also possible that someone, either in this room or not in this room, was a stone pillow for someone else? A person who served as a conduit for God's presence, love, mercy, enlightenment. Who is the person? Who are the persons who have been like a stone pillow for you? We need very much to dream Jacob's dream again. We need to have a broader sense of life beyond what we see and feel and know. Too much we have, and not least of all in North America, we've isolated ourselves in a small time, in a small space. The bottom line is this. Look at what the dream does for Jacob. It gives him a sense of the presence of God that never leaves him for the rest of his wandering and sometimes despicable life. After all, Jacob was a rascal. Even after this strange and wonderful experience with God, he still pulled off some shenanigans. And it tells us something about this God who does not break any promises, but is always drawing us back to God. The Lord stands beside Jacob and makes him an extraordinary promise. It is not just about him and his family. This dream includes the whole world. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. In a real sense, is God not wanting to say this promise to each one of us here this morning? If only we are willing to hear it. Hear the words, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Is it possible that you are a stone pillow for someone, or have been? Many of us have a number of places that are Bethel for us. Have you had an urge, maybe even a burning desire, to mark a place where and when God encountered you in a deeply significant way? Perhaps over coffee we could chat amongst ourselves during the fellowship time. And maybe within your congregation you might want to create opportunities to come together to hear one another's Bethel stories and to be able to tell ours and to have a deeply, carefully listening audience to help us in our spiritual journey. May God bless you richly.